Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready, today we'll be in the book of Genesis, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. I simply entitled this, "What Have You Done to Us?" as we look at Abraham and his lying for the second time. Here is the second half and conclusion of this two-part study. No, God does that. God does that. And you know what? We can do that with our spouses. And what I mean by that is you put them in a place to fix all your problems. You need to be praying to God. You need to take refuge in God. When we start getting a little, you know, the word that's used is wonky. That's the word that Teresa's starting to use now. And she, one of the words she learned. When things get a little wonky, man, sometimes our spouses need to go, hey, you need to take refuge in the Lord. Because right now, you're fearing man and not God. And you can't lead this family if you don't fear man or fear God. You have to stop fearing man. Well, I don't know what's going to happen if we don't get this job, or I don't know what's going to happen if this don't. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Let's go to the Lord and pray. So what are five things that we can learn about besetting sins? You know, you think about those acceptable sins like lying or anger or lust and all those different things. There's a book by Jerry Bridges called Acceptable Sins, which is a really good book because you'll find out in the first chapter, there are no acceptable sins. And he kind of lays that out for you. And so one of the things that we can learn about besetting sins is one, no matter which one they are, they're always dangerous. Every one of them are always dangerous because what happens is we begin to lose our trust in God and we start leaning on those things thinking that, oh, we're getting away with it. Nobody sees it, but God does. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he falls. See, the problem is we get away with it for so long that we think, oh, I'm good to go. And Abraham was like, hey, I did this sin 20 years ago. I got some cattle and stuff out of it. Let's do it again. But this is a problem because this ties the messianic promise. This is why it's important to understand scripture. This messes with the messianic promise, and Satan knows that. If Sarah's taken and she has relations, that's it. That's why God intervened. See, Abraham walked with God for years, but he fell into the same sin that defeated him some 20 years before. And you never reach a state of sinless perfection. That's the other thing you need to remember. You never, like, I think sometimes the worst thing in the world is for somebody who has been walking with God for a long time and they keep creating the same problems in the church over and over and over and over. It's because they never really deal with that one acceptable sin. Where they're arguing with somebody, where they argue with this person, where they argued with that person. And it's like you're not dealing with your anger. And they come in and then you feel like you're dealing with the 13-year-old version of that person. And they're 40-something years old because they never dealt with that pain and that hurt. And so what happens is they think it's acceptable for them to yell at you or get mad at you. That it's okay for them to do that, to lie about you, right? Those things happen. But the Bible teaches us that the consistent victory over sin is when we understand that as
saints, that none of us are strong enough to overcome them. It's God that gives us. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that allows us to overcome sin. You can't do it in your flesh. In Matthew 26, verse 41, it says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." And then I love Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." We have to understand that our strength comes from Him. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "But I have this against you, that you've abandoned the love that you had at first." And it doesn't matter if you're a believer, you're a follower of Christ for a year, you can lose your first love. You could be walking with God for 30 years and lose your first love. And He tells them in Revelation 2:5, He says, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will not come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." You have to repent. You can't just keep going on and doing the same thing over and over and over. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead," what are we supposed to do? Now, this is the one that nobody wants. Expose them. Expose them. So He says, "Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." Hey, brother, you just lied. "Oh, no, we don't want to do that," right? "Well, you're not supposed to do that in the church." It's just Paul tells you to do it. This is the problem with the church, is nobody tells each other when they're doing wrong. Like when they're hurting you, you're allowed to say, "Hey, you hurt me. You're supposed to, hey, that what you did was darkness. That anger that almost turned to wrath, that's darkness. The lying you did on me, darkness. It needs to be exposed. Because if you walk with God, you wouldn't do that. And you need to repent." Now they think that's the pastor's job. "Well, I'll do it all day long. If you're my sheep, I'll sit you down, all of you. And let's deal with it. Let's deal with it." Because at the end of the day, it's like, what's going to happen is you're going to keep hurting people. You'll just keep hurting people in the church. What's that book? Hurt People, Hurt People. Right? That's what happens. But when we read that, we go, "Oh, no, it says that in the Bible." Oh, yeah. Paul had to get into all of that because he's like, "Hey, these things that are happening that are darkness, they need to be exposed. They can't be, as followers of Christ, we can't be partaking in any of that stuff." And so if you don't do it, like walk into the church and yell it out, hey, you quietly go and tell them. You get on the microphone and, "Hey, so-and-so did." You need to do it quietly. Another thing that we need to do is avoid things that we're easily tempted in certain situations, and avoid those situations. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 19, it says, "Flee from sexual morality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but sexually immoral people sin against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own." So an easy way of looking at this, if you're tempted to drink, don't go near the bar. "Well, I'm going to go witness to people." No, you're not. You may do that the first night, but night two, you're probably going to have a beer in your hand. Don't put yourself in the situation. If you're tempted to lust, you need to stay away. If you cannot control yourself by your phone, you don't need to have one. You need to go back to the old flip phone. If you're tempted to act up when you travel, then you need somebody to travel with you. For instance, there's a men's retreat up in Houston. Would I go by myself? No. Somebody needs to come with me. I need that. That's the old Billy Graham rule. Right? Billy Graham used to never counted the money. They left that to somebody else. Their organization wouldn't do it. The other thing they would do is they would never bash or talk badly about any other church in the community that they were going into, no matter who the pastor was. That way they would be above reproach. They would never exaggerate numbers. Oh, see, this is why I love Chuck. Chuck left the Baptist church. Chuck was in the Baptist church for 15 years. And the reason why Chuck got tired of it, he was like, man, I started realizing like some of the people that kept coming up, they already gave their life to Christ and they're trying to count them as people. And we got so focused on the number instead of trying to disciple them, instead of teaching them the word of God. So one of the things Billy Graham said, he goes, we'll never exaggerate the numbers. If it's this amount, that's all it is. So we won't do the count. Somebody else will. How many people came to faith? They'll do the count. So the Billy Graham Association wouldn't be part of it. The other thing he would do is he would not travel alone. And this is something that I'm praying that we start implementing in our church, is that for me and also for my wife, is like to protect the pulpit, is that he would, to avoid sexual morality, he would not travel alone. He would not eat with a woman alone. He wouldn't be in a room with a woman alone. That's why when I ask somebody to come with me to pray with you, the purpose of that is for that reason. The other thing is, and I just need to get this off my, because this has been a problem. If you text me and you're a female, either attach your husband to it or attach my wife to it. Or if I get the text, I'm going to attach my wife to the reply. Okay? Just FYI. Now that's the same thing for my wife. So if you're a man and you decide, hey, I need to ask Teresa something about barbecue because I can't get a hold of Mike, you need to attach your wife to it or attach me to it. It's like, it's just accountability for us. We don't want to do anything that would jeopardize or compromise the church. Okay? So that's something that we definitely need to do. But that's one of the other besetting sins. Another one is besetting or rooted in the love of self. Oh, this one's a big one. See, Abraham had lied, but if he was loving Sarah more than himself, he wouldn't have lied. He's like, I'm worried about what's going to happen to me, not you. What a husband. What a husband. This is a sad commentary for a husband. We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And here's Abraham saying, hey, they may kill me, so you're going to have to go. I'm going to be your brother. He lied. And it's sad because, you know, these things happen today. People care more about themselves than they do about others, even their own family. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he says, and he said to all, this is Jesus speaking, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You're supposed to deny yourself. It's not about you. I've said this from the very beginning, and I'll keep saying this. If you're a leader in this church, at some point, it's very simply this. If you lead in this church, you're last. And I'm not asking you to lead the way that you would lead in the military or in the police or in the... You are to lead the Lord's ministry the way the Lord conducts it in the Word of God. See, what we do is we bring our own ingenuity, man's ingenuity, to try to do stuff, and it's not what God wants. It's a ministry of God. And we start reaching and doing whatever we have to do because we love ourselves so much that we want the title. You can take the title away from me. I'll still teach. It doesn't stop me from teaching. My calling is to teach. The title means nothing. And that's what you have to ask yourself as a leader. If you were removed from that title, would you still lead? A lot of people won't because they're full of themselves. So we have to be careful with that. Another one of the besetting sins is we always hurt others. We know that Abraham eventually, you know, it could have ended very badly for Sarah. But not only Sarah, it would have ended badly for the Abimelech and the whole nation. His sin was hurting others. And sin always hurts others. No matter how you cut it, no matter what you do with it, it stems from the love of self and it damages relationships and hurts other people. But oh, it's just a small lie. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not. You see the danger of what happens when a lie becomes another lie and another lie and another lie, and then what ends up happening, it can destroy a whole ministry. And then it not just destroys the ministry, it destroys the people that served in the ministry. But it not just destroys the people that served in the ministry, it affects their families. And they take that home with them. It can cause problems in the marriage. It creates issues. All because you want to lie. Or you want to get angry. Or you're full of yourself. What did we talk about this weekend? Not to be full of what? You're supposed to be whole. To be holy is to be full of God, not yourself. God don't need you. He needs you to be Christ-like. The whole reason why he's trying to get all that stuff out is because he don't want that stuff out there. And so we see that those besetting sins, we see that the other one is that you gotta confess them, or we'll excuse to confess them, because we don't think it's such a big thing. In this story, as we get into it, Abraham never confesses. He didn't care. He's fixing to get more cattle and stuff. Didn't affect him. But God's going to deal with all that stuff. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, it says, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." So Abraham has three excuses for his sin. First, he has a situation that forced him to, he's thinking, well, this situation forced me to sin. It forced me to do it. And there's not a sin that God or circumstance that God puts you in to where you're allowed to sin. You've been tempted, you fell for the temptation, and you're in sin. God didn't do that. You did. And stop blaming the devil for stuff. That's the other thing people do. Oh, it's the devil. No, that was you, bro. That was you. I know you. That was you. There's no situation that God will put you in to cause you to sin. That is you allowing yourself to be tempted. And that means all those little white lies and things that are being done, it adds up and problems happen. And then the other excuse that we have is to justify a half-truth as the truth. Is we'll try to say that this, I can justify the reason I'm lying. I can justify the reason why I'm upset. I can justify the reason I have to have my way. We do this. We do it. And Abraham does it. And he'll call his lie kindness in Genesis 20:13, when we get to that. And then finally, the third excuse is that it's the way that we've always done it. I've always done it this way. It's the only thing I know. It's if you call yourself a follower of Christ, you need to start knowing something else, which is the Word of God. Again, you need to sit down with your brother and sister and tell them, hey, and they may not receive it, but at least you tried. And at least you know that you need to keep your distance. Oh, wait a minute. You can do that? Man, I'm not going to have no part of somebody that keeps sinning, that calls himself a Christian. Okay? Why am I going to keep letting them hurt me over and over and over again? We try. It's not my job to fix them. That's God's. You pray for them. Don't stop praying for them. But if you sit down with them lovingly and you try to talk with them, but they keep hurting you and it's been over and over and over, you have to take a step back and go, you know what? Maybe I'm enabling this. Maybe I need to set, God is trying to get me to say the word no or set boundaries. We have to learn. We are to love one another. Sacrificial love, that means that we don't expect anything in return, but it doesn't mean, and Jesus never put himself in a place to where he was just going to let somebody keep sinning. He called him out on that stuff. He let them know. And then lastly, the besetting sin always dishonors God. And we'll end there. We didn't get much far, did we? It always dishonors God. And God says, you keep sinning against me. And Genesis chapter 20, verse 6. It hurts others. But the main thing is, and this is the problem that a lot of people do, is they have remorse, but they don't repent. They have the Judas complex. I feel sorry. I got caught. But there's no repentance. See, you want to be like Peter. We talked about that this weekend. You need to be like Peter. Peter repented. Because he understood that what he was doing dishonored God. And someone who is following God will understand, hey, I have fallen into sin, and what I'm doing is dishonoring God, and I need to repent, and I need to turn from that sin and turn back to Him. So why does God allow His children to suffer besetting sin? Well, it keeps us humble and attacks our pride. I'm sure Abraham never thought he'd lie again. It was 20 years. And on the same lie, she's my sister. It attacks that pride that you think you got it all perfected, and you don't. None of us do. When it says, be holy for I am holy, your pursuit is holiness, not perfection. It also makes us more dependent on God. Have you ever been just broken? That's why I played that song, Sweetly Broken. When you're just broken, and then you're just like, Lord, please. And you start realizing as things get magnified and you take time and everything slows down and you go, oh, man, how did I get here? Man, God was showing me here I should have left. God showed me here I should have left. But I thought I could fix it. I wanted to play God. I couldn't. I told y'all about that this weekend. I had to repent of people pleasing because I thought I could fix it. And then I realized in that dependence on God, as He humbled me, that little five to six-year-old boy that went through the divorce who always tried to fix mom and dad was trying to do the same thing. And God was saying, you know what, Mike, I done tried to get that boy out of you, and you let him back in again. I'm going to teach you the word N-O. I'm like, whew, pastors learn too, okay? And then the last thing it does, it magnifies His power and His grace in the midst of your weakness. It's His mercy and His grace that you need. And that is, in the midst of weakness, it is magnified who God is. You ever, like, when you're in that brokenness, you're in God's word, and it's in stereo. It's just like, oh my Lord, like, I'm so happy I'm reading this. Are you sitting there worshiping, and you're really worshiping again because all that brokenness and all that stuff that was keeping you in the busyness of life is gone now. And within that, you have His power, His grace, and His mercy that's magnified. And you go, man, I just want to stay here with you. That's where I want to be. That's it. And we got through one verse. How about that? We had to deal with the besetting sins first before we got into the rest of it. Next week, we'll finish the rest of Genesis 20. I'm not going to keep y'all here all night. Through all the technical stuff that we had go wrong, and praise God, normally when we have a sermon like this, this is why it all goes bad. Because it's something that we need to hear, and the Lord doesn't want it to go out. But it'll go out anyway. It'll speak to our hearts. And I pray that wherever you're at, you know, maybe you struggle with anger. Moses struggled with anger. I just won't hand you a rod so you don't strike the rock. But Moses struggled with anger, and, you know, men or women can struggle with lust, or they can struggle with lying, or they can struggle with all these different things of being full of themselves and things like that. Like, if you're noticing that, repent. Deal with it immediately. Don't let it just keep going. Okay? Don't let it keep going. And just like last night when everything went pitch black, and you hit the coffee table, and you're, oh, that's a besetting sin. You knew where the coffee table was, but it lets you know, hey, this thing is still here and it wants to come up again, and you need to repent. Okay? Just remember that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for tonight. We thank You for allowing us to be here, allowing us to be in Your word. As we think about Abraham just lying, we deal with different things and things that are going on in our lives, Lord. I ask that You be with us and just help us to focus on You, focus on Your word. Look at application for ourselves, not for anybody else. It's for us. It's for me. I know when I went through this week, I was like, oh man, not again. I went through 1 Peter and I was broken. And then I went through this week and I was like, Lord, help me. Just help me. Your grace, Your mercy. Let me cling to that. Lord, allow us to be humble. Teach us to be humble. We need more humility in this world. And we pray that we would be obedient servants to You. that the things that we do decide to do, whether it's ministry or whatever we do, that we do it because it brings us more intimate time with you. When we're called to do something that Jesus has called us to do, the intimacy with God is there. There's peace in it. There's peace in it. And I pray that we would know what that is. I ask, Lord, that you be with us. I thank you for us just being able to come together tonight. We pray and just ask that you just continue to be with us through this week. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.